Winterfang Richheart, Cinder Fennec Curly Wings, and Greyhoof Rare Nails. If you can guess which fantasy name generator I'm using, you win. I'll give you one more hint. Ambercat, Active Claws.
What do they win exactly?
They win an autographed picture from Rune Panther Wisemug.
So in other words, a prize that they're going to be wanting to send back.
If they must.
And welcome to episode 82 of the Laser Comb Podcast, the show where we comb through random episodes of classic TV with a fine-tooth laser. I am, as always, Christopher Siege, one of your hosts.
And I'm your other host, Neo Cow.
Today, I'm calling myself Professor S.
And I can't think of anything clever, so I'm Neo Gambit.
Yeah, that's right. On the... This week on the Laser Comb Podcast is one of my picks. We are finally talking about the 1992 Fox Kids X-Men cartoon.
Look out! Get ready for the time of your life!
Get the mutant!
It's all new explosive X-Men excitement on Fox!
Don't y'all leave now, the fun just started.
There's all new action.
Let's take these sardines out of the can.
All new adventure.
Y'all want to play catch?
All new danger.
I'll destroy
all the X-Men. You've got to see it to believe it.
You're mine.
So watch all new X-Men excitement explode this Saturday morning on Fox. And
watch out, get out of the way!
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Don't know why it took us this long to finally get to it, but here we
are. Kind of amazing that this wasn't in like the first 10 episodes.
Yeah, I know, right? The reason why I wanted to I was inspired to talk about this show was because, well, there's a follow-up series coming to Disney Plus very soon. I think this month, time of recording, it's early March of 2024. And I think it's premiering like next week or something like that.
Oh, that soon. Gee.
Yeah, I feel like
Does the internet have a lot to say about that, but we may or may not get into that.
We may or may not. Probably not. But who knows? We got enough to talk about here. This week on the Laser Comb Podcast, we are reviewing episode 10 of 1992's X-Men the Animated Series, Come the Apocalypse, which originally aired on February 27th of 1993. 31 years ago. Insane.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember watching the first season of X-Men the Animated Series as it was originally airing. I was hyped for it.
Right?
So, wow, gives you an idea how old
long
I am.
Ago. Yeah. Come the Apocalypse. It's nice because this is one of the earlier ones. So we see the characters learn about each other a little bit. One interesting piece of trivia is that this is the episode where the iconic rogue booty shot meme comes from.
Yep.
We just, at the end of last episode, you saw Siege do the random number generator, and lo and behold, here we are. It was destiny.
Yep. Yeah, when I was watching this earlier, I'm like, wow, that's a hilarious and somewhat appropriate coincidence. But yes, this is the episode that is the origin of the rogue booty meme.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you pay attention to the episode art for this episode of the podcast, well, there it is.
And we didn't cheat, and that's not from a different episode. That's from this episode.
No, I took a screenshot from this very episode. From Disney Plus. Because they don't let you take screenshots on streaming services, so I had to go to archive.org and found a AI upscaled version of the episode.
Oh, you found an upscaled one?
I did, yeah.
Nice. Not me. I got somebody who, like, I mean, I borrow, I peer-to-peer shared something that looks like it was recorded on VHS. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, you could have used my Disney Plus login.
I clearly could have.
Yeah, it's all there.
Silly me. But yeah, there's kind of like a summary here. And man, isn't it nice? I was like, hey, here's kind of what's going on, at least in relation to this arc.
Oh, there's a you mean there's a recap at the beginning of the episode? Yeah, there is. Yeah. At the beginning of every episode, this show, which was very unusual for kids shows at the time, and it might even still be, who knows, but this show was quite serialized.
Yeah, and that's why I was surprised. I was like, oh, there's an ongoing like plot here. And I mean, I remember it from when I was a kid, but like the, hey, here's what's going on, guys, is a reminder of that. And yeah, you can catch a random episode and be all like, yeah, go X-Men. But like, is this plot moving, folks?
Yes. So we find out in the recap that some scientist guy has developed a so-called cure for being a mutant, and Rogue is tempted to take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the gist of it. Oh, and Apocalypse is around.
Cable's there, I think, or what's his?
Yeah, Cable's in the recap. He's not in this episode, but
he shoots. He's in the recap, and he shoots a blonde guy.
He shoots a very dandy mofo.
Dandy, yes. Thank you. I'm like, how do I articulate the sort of gentleman that he shot and killed? Dandy is the nicest term.
Dandy.
And yeah, we got some Mystique action, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna take over this world, so you better serve me or bend over. And she's all like, I'm sworn to carry your burdens. And indeed, she does most of the heavy lifting this episode.
She does, yeah. So at the beginning of the episode, this scientist guy is going to be administering this so-called cure of his. And it's referred to as a cure, but even in the episode, they're like, oh, this isn't like, this is nothing to be cured. This is just who we are. This is, we're mutants. That's who we are. There's nothing wrong with us.
I like that. Yeah. Very strong.
Very thinly veiled social commentary there.
Thinly veiled and obvious and like bold social commentary going on right away here. Strange that people would think that, X-Men was anything but, you know, progressively to put use their own word. Go ahead.
X-Men going back to the 1960s when it originally debuted as a Marvel comic book. The X-Men has always been a thinly veiled allegory for the civil rights movement and LGBTQ struggles, especially as the book went on.
Oh, yeah. And that egalitarian message they deliver through the mutants being accepted by humans and knowing that they need to fight, like, some, you know, they're bad people, regardless if you're a mutant or not. And they're good people.
In the second X-Men movie, there is a bit where Iceman reveals to his parents that he's a mutant, and his mom very cringily says, have you tried not being a mutant? So right now there is a very vocal subset of people on the internet who are very angry that because of this new cartoon, it's called X-Men 97. It's follow-up to this cartoon. It's coming to Disney Plus, as I mentioned.
X-Men is so going woke!
Exactly.
Not my X-Men! That's a real hashtag.
It is, yeah. So, here's what I don't understand.
What fucking show were they watching?
These are the same people who complain that Star Trek has apparently gone woke. And it's like, what fucking show have you been watching for the past, like, 70 years?
Yeah, you and I covered an random episode of Next Generation on this podcast, and it was the biggest fucking trans rights, like, not even an allegory, like, basically, like, one-for-one, like, comparison.
They didn't have the language for it, but the character in that episode, the guest character that Riker was trying to save, was very clearly non-binary coded.
Yeah. Like, very, very clearly. And he's all like, oh, what does that mean for me? I'm attracted to you. And it's like, oh, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And there's so... And that was just a random episode.
Yeah.
And watching this, I'm sorry, but you can't watch a minute of this without, like, seeing the, like, mutant rights, or in the real world, human rights, that is, like, going on in the show.
X-Men's not about being gay. It's about controlling the weather and fucking eye lasers.
It's about the government controlling the weather and, Rogue's ass. Yeehaw. I'd let her steal my powers any day. You know what I'm saying? Wait, unless you have, like, superhuman resistance, doesn't it just kill you?
I wonder what would happen if Rogue touched Superman, for instance. I think he could probably resist it, especially if he's out in the sun, because his Kryptonian DNA is constantly being fed power by Earth's yellow sun.
And he regenerates at such a level that he's effectively impervious.
Invincible. Yeah.
What? All right, if you're listening to this, tell us what you think would happen.
This is one of those, like, nerd debates.
Like, she would get some of his powers, and maybe nothing would happen to him. Maybe he'd, like, fall onto one knee for a second.
Yeah.
Well, no, because that's only in the presence of kryptonite. So would Rogue just have Superman's powers for, like,
or maybe minute? She wouldn't even be able to absorb his powers because he's effectively impervious.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Dude.
So if Rogue wants to get laid, what I'm saying is she's got to hook up with Superman.
She's got to cross dimension over into DC.
Yeah.
And hook up with Superman, the Man of Steel, if you will. I guess. Wait. Are there any cybernetic superhumans in X-Men? Like, completely? Or they're just like Cable, like, where they're like half?
Yeah, well, Cable's a cyborg. Yeah.
Could she hook up with Cable?
No, I don't think so, because he still has organic components. And he doesn't have... I actually don't even know what Cable's mutant power is, to be honest.
Isn't he dude with gun?
Pretty much, yeah. Maybe he has a healing factor.
So many angry people listening to it. You're covering X-Men and you don't even know? God damn, woke mob. Cable's powers? Question mark? Wait, homie has telepathic and telekinetic abilities.
Oh.
Wait, he does? I thought he was a cyborg with guns. He can read minds and move objects.
Well, I know the version of Nate Gray. There's an alternate version of Nate Gray, which that's Cable's real name because he's Cyclops and Jean Gray's son from the future, Nathaniel Gray. There's an alternate version of Nate Gray where he doesn't become Cable. It was in a comic book that ran in the 90s called X-Man.
Oh, okay.
And he had basically, like, powers like Jean Gray. He had, like, psionic abilities and whatnot.
Oh, okay, and that augments his, like, shooting, and that's how he's able to, like, predict where people are coming from. And
but that version of Nate Gray isn't a cyborg. He didn't become Cable.
So he didn't become Cable, but he has, like, Jean Grey's psionic abilities.
Yeah.
Because I swear in X-Men, most of the Cable I knew, he's just, like, a cyborg with a fucking gun.
Yeah, that's Cable, yeah. But I'm talking about the, like, an alternate version of Nate Gray from, like, a different timeline in the Marvel Universe, who doesn't become a cyborg, doesn't become Cable, but he has, like, powers similar to Jean Grey. I think he can fly and he has, like, psionic abilities. And
I wonder if he lost that potential when most of his body was replaced by cybernetics.
Could be. Someone out there is, like, throwing their phone right now, being like, God damn it.
Oh, filthy casuals. not fit to have a podcast.
No, guess not.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do it anyway, folks. Okay, so Angel Man.
Warren Worthington III. What's his name?
Wait, that's actually his name. Yeah. So he's like, I hate being a mutant. Thanks, Doc, for helping. And the doctor, in quotes, is like, oh, you're the one that funded all of my research. And I'm like, you know, for a dude that hates being a mutant, he's got a really sick fucking like superhero outfit.
Yeah, I know. Why is he in costume?
That's what I mean. Like, should he throw on some fucking like jeans and like a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Or if the wings get in the way, like a tank top or like a hoodie or something like that, right?
Mm.
It's like, oh, I can't stand being a mutant, always saving lives and using my powers for good. Well, here I go. And I'm like, why are you dressed like a superhero then?
And so, wouldn't you know it, this scientist guy is actually Mystique in disguise, and then Apocalypse shows up and is like, ha-ha, this isn't actually a mutant cure machine. This is a machine to turn you into my slave. Make him scream, Mystique. I want to hear him scream.
Yeah, so...
Actual thing.
It's a painful... It's a painful thing. Yeah, Apocalypse comes out and is like, this is actually a slave machine. Now turn the power up. And I'm like, does turning the power up make it more painful? Or does it make it happen faster? Or both?
I think it just makes it more painful.
Weird. Because
he's all like, I want to hear the angel scream.
Yeah, squeal. Squeal, angel. Yeah, say my name.
As he's like fapping in the corner.
I mean, I kind of got that. It's weird. Okay. It's weird. Go and watch the episode and not tell us that this is weird.
So after that, bunch of the X-Men are in a bar, some like random bar.
As they do.
And they're on this place called Mirror Island, which is where like this, and it seems like a whole bunch of mutants have gathered on this island because they want this like so-called cure. Was that?
It's been advertised that there might be a cure for them here.
And so we have a couple of like creatures, basically. Very ugly people like sitting at the bar.
How dare you? There's some
complaining about how they want the cure.
They want the cure, and the X-Men are talking about it very positively. Like Professor X is like, you know, that their abilities have not always been so kind to them during their lives, right? During their lives. And Rogue is like, yeah, well, some of us are hard-hitting mutants, don't have the luxury of like enjoying the simple things or whatever.
Yeah.
And Cyclops reaches across the table and puts his hand on hers. And I'm like, as he like reassures her,
mm-hmm.
was a thing that I don't remember, or is he just like kind of touchy-feely and supportive of everyone?
I think he's just trying to be supportive.
Oh, okay. For a moment, I thought I missed something, and I'm like, wait, those two dating early on?
No.
Also, she makes a big deal about it, not being able to like touch people and stuff. She touches people all in this scene with like gloves.
Yeah, she's wearing gloves. As long as she's wearing gloves, then she doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah.
It's skin to skin, direct skin to skin contact.
And yeah, it's like, okay, so you got to make the guy put on a rubber or something like that, right? Like, but like you can enjoy the touch of someone else.
Well, and indeed.
She needs to date people that wear gimp suits. Is what I'm saying.
Well, indeed. Her and Gambit are playing pool, and Gambit is being like really flirty and like wanting like a kiss from her. And she's like, do you want to be in a coma? And he's kind of like, well, you can absorb my power anytime, baby.
Yeah. And it was like, well, like, you don't know if you'll wake up from it. Like, what is his end game? His end game there.
He's just that.
Mon cher, I've always loved a challenge.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try and do his accent.
I'm just going to offend like at least three cultures trying to do his accent there. But while they're at the bar, Willard Hemmingsworth III comes in wearing the most posh, wearing completely different clothes.
Yeah, he's not wearing the
costume. Looks like he's from like a Renaissance fair.
See now, because he doesn't have mutant powers anymore, that just means his costume disappears.
Oh, right.
But that immediately, makes sense. But immediately in this scene, I'm like, okay, so this is clearly Masique in disguise, because we just him being tortured and screaming in pain.
See, you're smarter than I am, because I thought it just like reprogrammed their mind to be on his side. But no, it is Mystique doing an impression of a human version of she can transform not into just people that she's met and heard and seen, but like a concept of them. Like, yeah. What would this person be like if they were human? Which so I now, find interesting.
So now she is pretending to be Wilbur Hemmingsway the 13th.
Wilbur Hemmingsway the 13th, Esquire. And he goes to the bar and he's like, fellow unfortunate souls, we can be cured of the gay. I mean, being mutants. And everyone's like, yeah, oh, geez, oh, let's do this. And the X-Men are kind of like, some of them are like, hey, you got a problem like with mutants. It's who we are.
Yeah, so Cyclops gets in his face.
I like this. Okay. Cyclops was kind of badass back then.
Cyclops gets in his face and is like, there's nothing to cure, you know, like this is just who we are, like, fuck off, man. And
Mystique, very poor choice of words.
Warren Hubertson, the 12th, says, yeah, why don't you look me in the eye and say that? And I specifically like that line because I'm like, oh, that's some clever writing right there. Yeah. Cyclops.
Cyclops is like, okay, he's going to take his visor off. And if anybody remembers the show or has watched any of the movies or like whatever, except when his eyes are closed, otherwise he'd melt through his own skull. It's not filtered like through his like visor. It's like, complete, he basically vaporizes anything like he looks at, and he's literally going to pull his like visor up, which is funny now reviewing this in hindsight because this is Mystique.
Yeah,
he would have vaporized Mystique right here, but I think Professor X or someone is like, hey, calm down.
Yeah, Professor X is like, down, Scott, down
boy. heal. By the way, his hair is so like Wilbert Hemmingsworth the 14th in this that if you told me that was his name, I'd be like, oh yeah, well, look at the hair. Why are all the people here that want a cure like, not to, they all kind of look like someone who might steal Haagen-Dazs ice cream from your place of work. They're not the best depicted people.
Yeah, they
all look like street people.
They look like cretins.
There you go. But yeah, Professor X is like, hey, it's not in our place to tell them where their heart should lie.
Right.
And I'm like, man, you always a G, Professor X.
And so we go back to Apocalypse's hideout, and the actual Hudson Corningsworth, the ninth, is now wearing a different superhero costume.
Looks completely different. Wings are made of metal.
Hey, he's now got metallic wings.
Not angel-like wings.
He looks more badass now.
The good guy version, bad guy version, looks more badass. And Apocalypse is like, there, you've joined my Drake Queen group. Three more, and we'll have a troop. I just think it's funny. Evil means lipstick. I guess because all of the Well, the four horsemen of the apocalypse make their debut in this episode, by the way.
Yeah. So Angel has now become Archangel, the horseman of death. He doesn't actually have a horse, though, because he has wings.
It'd be cool if he had a horse, alas. And then he changes the Cretans into the horsemen. They all look cool now instead of homeless.
I wouldn't say they look cool.
Well, not as cool as Archangel.
So they look like... Now, imagine you were going to a dollar store and you wanted to buy some X-Men toys. But at the dollar store, they don't have X-Men toys. They have the G-Human squad.
Mutant squad.
Yeah.
Oh, man, even the horses, they look like the dollar store, like one, like, you know, like four levels of articulation.
Yeah,
like only their like legs move forward. They look so bad, guys.
they look like off-brand versions of like supervillains. They're very generic looking.
So they all have pale green skin. Not sure why they all have green skin. Oh, I just paused it on the horses. Are they robot horse? Yeah, so they're riding robot horses, and they look like. They look like dollar store. You can see the joints. Like, oh, they're so bad. They look like if you were like, Mom, can I get this like Digimon or Pokemon toy? And your mom was like, oh, we have Digimon at home. That's what we have My Little Pony at home. But like in an endearing way.
Or like, it's
they're
like
so shitty that it's kind of like, cute.
When you're saying to your mom, like, hey, Mom, can we go to McDonald's? And she's just like, no, we're not going to go to McDonald's. I'll make you hamburgers at home. And it's
you an Egg McMuffin at home.
And it's infinitely shittier than what you actually wanted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to say that they were cool, but now that I actually caught up to that like area. So Archangel, I think his design is pretty cyberpunk.
Oh yeah, totally. He looks cool.
It's it looks like an enemy. Who was a Blood Dragon? What was that guy's name? The protagonist.
Rex Power Colt.
Rex. There we go. This looks like somebody he'd fight. but alas, nope. The idea of Apocalypse, correct me if I'm wrong, is he wants to build a better world on the ashes of this one.
Yeah.
But it requires that the weak are destroyed, which includes all humans.
Yes.
Is that the gist of it?
Yeah.
Okay. And indeed, at certain points of this episode, they're like, oh, there are other people who can be reasoned. I think it's Professor X, who's like, there are mutants like
Magneto,
who can be reasoned with, who show reason, who have an agenda. And then there's Apocalypse, who just crazy. Apocalypse just crazy.
Apocalypse, and I'm just like, crazy motherfucker.
He's just a crazy dude. He needs to be stopped. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. I'm aboard that reasoning. Yeah, there's no this philosophical, like, we need to teach him better ways. No, Professor X is just like, kill this bitch. He's crazy. And I'm like, okay.
I'm trying to remember what Apocalypse is like in the comics. So I'm going to look it up. Live on the air.
Hell yeah. Oh, I forgot. They cheat because Gambit's beating Rogue in the rec room. And who is it? Is it... I can't... what is it? Oh, if I win, can I get a kiss from you? And Gambit supercharges the cue. The pool cue. But Jean Grey makes him miss and like damage the bottom of the pool, like the felt. And Storm turns and says, they're all hanging out, by the way, Gambit, just because we're in the rec room doesn't mean you need to wreck the room. And Gambit's like, wow, Storm is making jokes now?
Yeah.
Oh, the term rec room does not mean you must wreck it. And I was like, what the fuck? And even Gambit's like, wow, Storm's making jokes now. And I'm like, wow, like, this is wild. I don't know. I just found that like really endearing and like funny.
Yeah, the writing in this show is pretty fun.
And the hair. Remember when they used to like draw everybody's hair? Like, freaking fabulous. But the long story short of this whole scene is that there's a world peace conference going on.
There's a world peace conference going on, and the agents of Apocalypse, oh my God, the four horsemen of Apocalypse attack it, and Rogue is like, more like a world war conference. That's what I mean about the writing of the show.
More like a world war. So what happens is when they make their debut, everybody freaks out. Apocalypse mounts the building behind him, behind the president of the world.
He breaks out of a gargoyle.
Does he break out of the gargoyle?
I'm pretty sure he breaks out of the gargoyle.
There's only like 20 people in the crowd, and he's like, wax for the future like a herd of sheep. He's very poetic.
Also, this isn't like they try and pass it off as basically like a UN like conference. This is a press conference. This is a guy on a podium with a bunch of press. Like
15 people.
Yeah.
And that's like one dude.
And it's outside.
There's no world leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like for a world peace conference. He transforms from the gargoyle.
This is literally
what a weird long con. How long has he been pretending to be that gargoyle?
Yeah, this is literally a
you're right.
A media scrum.
So and then he rips off one of the other gargoyles. This is Apocalypse. He can like go giant and just like kick the shit out of all of them. He's like throwing gargoyles from a building. The least harmful thing Apocalypse could possibly do is stay still, you. And he's throwing gargoyles. It's funny. We just covered gargoyles
in
the last episode. And then it cuts to the rec room and their camera zooms in.
Yeah.
Kind of like an enhanced moment. And it shows a picture of Apocalypse just like with a big stupid grin and Storm with their arms folded. And they're like, oh, geez, I guess we got to go stop that. And I just love the idea of all of these like these mutants like hanging out, watching TV, waiting for like the bad guy to show up. Like, I don't know. It just feels like a little bit more realistic than, you know, how they're depicted now, where they're like, don't worry, I'm connecting to all the phones to make a 3D like radar. And Morgan Freeman, you need to destroy this technology after I'm done with it. I don't know why I went on a...
Thinking more in like the MCU, where as soon as anything happens, the Avengers just seem to kind of know about it somehow.
Know about it and are already inbound. And they're like 30 seconds away. Yeah. I'm like, you guys still have to follow the laws of physics.
Whereas in this,
well, I guess they don't.
They're kind of just hanging out at the X Mansion, and they see on TV, like, oh shit.
They happen to be watching the peace conference.
Yeah.
If they were watching like The Simpsons, they would have missed this. And Storm's like, well, let's go stop them.
Yeah. And so the dollar store horsemen are causing havoc, and the X-Men show up almost instantly in the Blackbird jet.
Rogue and Jubilee are with Professor Xavier, and they're like, oh, how come I couldn't have gone? Professor X is like, that's because I have a secret mission for you, Rogue.
See, I thought he said he had a mission for the two of them. But then Rogue just flies away and goes like back to Muir Island, and Jubilee just isn't there.
That's what I thought too. And it's like, okay. And then she just flies away. And I'm like, wait, weren't they both supposed to?
That was what my takeaway from it. I thought he was like, oh, I have another mission for the two of you. But then Jubilee doesn't do anything. Doesn't even go along.
That's the trend with Jubilee in the beginning few acts of X-Men, so it seems. But I thought he was talking to both of them as well.
If I remember correctly, Jubilee was voiced by the chick who did the voice of Claire Redfield in the original Resident Evil games, who is also the girl from the Big Comfy Couch. Yeah.
Hold my ex juice.
I think so.
Let's find out who that is. Allison Court.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, sounds familiar. Allison Court. Yeah.
She's Jubilee. Oh, she's the voice of Lydia Dietz in the Beetlejuice cartoon, too. Yeah. And the voice of, like you said, Claire Redfield, Resident Evil series. Oh, wow, she's Lunette.
Yep. I was surprised when I found that out years ago, because I remember the Big Comfy Couch being on. I thought she was a kid, but she was actually like in her 20s when she was on that show.
Oh, you thought she was a kid?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a reason so many people my age might have a thing for clown girls, and it may have been Lunette's fault.
Is having a thing for clown girls a thing?
It's a thing. It's a thing, my dude.
See, I thought people had this weird, like, irrational fear of clowns. I've never understood clown phobias.
I wonder why it's Gen X and above that tend to be afraid of clowns. I wonder why.
No, I don't know. I've heard a lot of people blame it on It, but I don't know. I saw It as a kid and it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I saw It as a kid.
Wow, there is a photo on Bing image search that comes up of Allison Court in a bikini.
Feverishly typing. Sheesh.
Yeah, this is her. Oh, she has a stomach on. She has a tattoo on her stomach.
Of what?
It's kind of hard to tell. It's Enhance. A low-res picture.
Enhance.
It's around her belly button.
Well, you'll have to let us know. The intrepid listeners who know.
It looks like it was taken with like an iPhone 1 camera. So it's
I was going to say, this actually looks like it's from like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. Yeah.
Nokia.
What was that Samsung flip phone? Not like a flip phone, but the Samsung phone where like the keyboard like flipped out the side.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Anyway, LG you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. From like the mid to late 2000s. Yeah, yeah. So this photo looks like it was taken from a camera from one of those kind of phones. Anyway,
well,
nice
we thank you. She had a anyway. She had a active career going. Yeah, she was in tons of cool stuff.
She is 50 years old now. Wow, years active, 1984 to present. She has been in show business longer than I have been alive.
Good for her.
Which is kind of crazy because she's only 11 years older than I am, which means she would have been a kid.
What we're saying is she's vastly more successful in the career of acting.
More accomplished in life than we are.
But hey, at least we still have Lasercomb Podcast going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in X-Men 97, but yeah. Cool.
Oh, she is.
Not as Jubilee is a character named Abkissa. But then when I click on it, it just takes me to Jubilee.
Oh.
Oh, it's a version of Jubilee from another timeline.
Oh.
Sweet.
Well, sweet.
Oh, she's a voice director now, too. Looks like that's what she's mostly been doing for the past 7 or 8 years.
Okay, that's cool.
Being a voice director. Yeah.
Voice director. Yeah. Oh, cool. Good for her. Well, there you go. You learn something when you watch the Lasercomb Podcast.
Yeah.
So what happens with these? You know what? Like, they're supposed to be like global terrorists. The X-Men does a good job of never really showing real bullets or people actually dying.
No, indeed. If you look at the cops in this episode who are firing guns at the evil mutants, they shoot lasers. Yeah, that was a Fox Kids mandate in the 90s. Yeah. Guns.
But the thing is, lasers. They don't look like laser guns. They are like real models of
guns.
They just shoot lasers.
Indeed. And even if you watch like G.I. Joe, the old G.I. Joe cartoon, like they had like machine guns and shit, but they would shoot lasers.
And they made gun sounds. They shot lasers.
Yeah.
So Apocalypse shows up and he's all like, this is a peace summit. And Apocalypse like asserts his dominance by T-posing in front of the peace conference director.
And growing real big and being like, I got your peace right here.
It's what I'm using as my... This is literally a screenshot of the episode video, listeners, of him T-posing in front of this guy. And that's it. He doesn't like smash him or hurt him. He's just asserting his dominance and putting his crotch at about head level. For whatever reason. And then wouldn't you know it, the X-Men show up. Just as he's like flexing and being like, look upon the future. Yes. Look at how big. You cannot deny its girth. He's literally just showing up to like preach to this one dude, which is kind of weird.
He's basically Arnie in Pumping Iron. Doing curls.
Yes. Every time I kill a human, I come.
Every time I pump ion, it's like I'm coming.
It's like I'm coming. So Apocalypse Arnie takes a break from coming. What's this? The episode of it is Come the Apocalypse. So that kind of...
Oh, there fits. You go.
And G.I. Joes show up. The horsemen of the apocalypse kill them.
Storm uses her weather to like knock pestilence out of the air, and then she falls onto a bus on top of a bus, and then I think it's War like blows the bus up.
Yeah, and I was like, you just blew the... You caught that too?
Yeah.
There's a part where War like blows the bus up.
The bus,
literally the bus that
his buddy just like fell onto.
And I'm like, did you just kill your homie? But then later on,
the bus isn't blown up and she's just laying on top of it.
Yeah. Grabs her. And I'm glad you caught that too. And I was like, oh, I guess that was just a different bus.
A different bus that was just in the same spot and looked the exact same.
There's a cool part where like, you know, they're all fighting and doing their fighty stuff. But Wolverine is like, where do you think you're going, bub? And they depict him as more of kind of like an idiot in the show, whereas they didn't really do that in like the live action movies. He's like really competent and like witty and like sharp, but in the TV show they're not afraid of showing the character's weaknesses, and I think they do that better in this children's cartoon than they every movie has to be this emotional growth, right, rather than this like personality like flaw. And I don't know, it's just something that's interesting to watch unfold in a children's show.
Well, the live action X-Men movies are a huge mixed bag.
That's fair. They are not the same animal.
There's some really good ones,
and
some of them are really good.
A lot of them don't even share the same continuity. Like
the movies will frequently like retcon like a previous movie.
Like they
didn't care about continuity with those films.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend recently, they were like, oh, the movies are just like terrible, I don't watch them. And I'm like, well, like some of the reboots of when they're younger, like X-Men First Class and stuff, like, I don't know, I think those are fairly like solid. And she's like, oh, well, the last one I watched was one where like the psychic woman like was like a phoenix or something like that. And I'm like, oh, there's been so many movies after that one.
But that then one they went back to the well and did that again back in 2019. Oh,
can you believe that they did that?
No.
When I saw the trailer for that, I was like, what are you doing? You know that is a big waste of money. And sure enough, if you go onto IMDb and...
Yeah. And this was even pre-pandemic, like before the pandemic too. Like the X-Men Dark Phoenix ended up like flopping hard.
Who would have thought? Like, yeah, of course, nobody wants that. You already showed that it...
Disney had already acquired Fox at that point, so like everyone knew that these X-Men movies were coming to an end, and everyone thought the continuity was coming to an end. Lo and behold, in the MCU, right. They're actually kind of just using multiverse shenanigans to carry on with it, which I appreciate. Spoilers yeah. for the end of the Marvels, but Kelsey Grammer actually cameos as Beast.
That's fucking hype.
I know.
that is actually hype.
And Hugh Jackman is going to be popping up in the third Deadpool movie as Wolverine in the yellow spandex.
He's retired from playing Wolverine three times now. But every time he comes back, he's more and more jacked than he was before.
Yeah.
Well, that's because bodybuilding is a hobby of his. So. Mm-hmm. Works out. But yeah, and the yellow spandex, can't wait to see that. What's Rogue's side mission here? Oh, she goes and confronts the Doctor and ties Mystique up to the chair.
She straps the Doctor to the chair, and the Doctor is like, no, please, no,
I'll suck your dick if you spare me. And then she looks up and she changes to Mystique. Man, the way they drew the...
But see, we as the audience knew that it was Mystique because they did something really clever. They showed the silhouette of Mystique in the shadow. And then when the character emerged from the shadow, it was the Doctor.
So it's showing the audience a from behind thing. And then as the camera switches to Rogues, we see the shadow is. But as the light hits their body, they're... Given the limited... technology that they had to, oh man, just that is so cool. And when she turns her face away, yeah. It's showing the side facing away from Rogue that it's actually Mystique. Just, it reminds me of old comic book covers.
Yeah.
That would do stuff like that.
It's a clever visual cue to tell the audience that this is actually Mystique in disguise.
And after she lets Rogue strap her to the, you'd think she'd change before Rogue straps her onto the table. She then transforms back into her normal appearance, which I forgot is really rad. Got skulls everywhere.
Yeah.
That high slit dress.
Yeah. She's based on how Mystique looked in the comics. I always like how Mystique looked. In the comics and in this cartoon more than the movie.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, she's just kind of blue and naked.
She's just a blue naked chick, which, don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of that OG Mystique.
Yeah.
But this is... She looks hardcore in this. Mm-hmm. And she spills the beans completely. But then after spilling the beans and is let go...
Yeah, this isn't
Rogue.
There is no mutant cure. This is actually just a thing to turn people into apocalypse's slaves. And Mystique is like, well, if you want to stop Apocalypse, this is where he is. And Rogue's like, okay, I'm going to let you go now. Apocalypse isn't going to be happy that you told me his plan. And she's like,
how will Apocalypse know?
Aha, who's going to tell him? And then she turns on her. And I'm like, you didn't see that coming?
Yeah, and it destroys the lab as she's shooting. And she's like, oh, now we can't transform them back. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And Mystique twirls her mustaches and you fool, Apocalypse will rule all. And disappears into the shadows again.
There is no resisting Apocalypse.
You say so.
And, so on top, Mystique tells Rogue that Apocalypse's secret lair is at Stonehenge in England. It's underneath Stonehenge.
Sorry, under Stonehenge.
And she makes a point of saying Stonehenge, England.
Not to be confused with Stonehenge, Canada.
Yeah, not to be confused with Stonehenge, Mississippi.
You know what? It's America. There's a town somewhere called Stonehenge.
Probably, yeah. So Rogue goes to Stonehenge to confront Apocalypse, and this is where we get the iconic like meme shot that is also the show art for the episode.
Because she goes to confront him and he's like, there's an interesting exchange here.
Apocalypse is going to destroy that ass.
I mean, so he powers up and he's like, you cannot resist. Submit to me. You will. Almost like he's worried that Rogue might be able to. Like, I don't know, the voice acting from, I just looked up his name.
Oh, yeah,
Apocalypse's voice.
Who voices Apocalypse in this episode?
Who were you?
James Blendick.
Blendick. Such a voice.
Blendick.
You will submit to Blendick. And, well, wouldn't you know it?
Oh, he also did the voice of Galactus in the Silver Surfer cartoon. We should cover that, too. That show was really good.
He's got a good, like, giant, evil, like, alien overlord voice.
Looks like he retired not too long after this.
Oh. And where are we? Oh, as he's about to, like, make her submit and we get the iconic booty shot from Rogue, the rest of the X-Men show up. I don't know how they know. I guess they just followed the horsemen here.
Yeah, I wasn't entirely sure how they got there either.
They got here. And a cool battle happens. And Rogue ends up flying up and taking Archangel by surprise. And this is where it gets fucking weird, folks. She absorbs some of his power and weakens him, right?
Yeah.
Her skin turns blue and she grabs her head, letting go of him. And she screams in like terror, right? Like I don't know why. And then Archangel is like,
she absorbed
what the have evil, I done?
The evil and the hate of his from his mind.
Some sort of the thing that the machines have done.
Yeah.
The evil and the hate. She screams and falls backwards and falls onto the ground. And immediately Archangel is like, wait, what have I done? And he shoots missiles at the other Apocalypse members.
Yeah, because and then we find out later in the episode that after like the battle has been won, that when Mystique drained some of his powers out of him, she like drained. She tells him that all the evil and the hate is gone, and he's like, "Well, hopefully." And she's like, "Well, and it's with me now permanently." And he's like, well, hopefully you can handle it better than I did, because, you know, I couldn't handle that at all.
And he like flies off into the moonlight. You're welcome, asshole. You can pay for her therapy, at least. Yeah, he just like flies off. By the way, he still looks like Archangel. But he wasn't like reverted to Angel.
And indeed, in the comics, he kept that look up after Apocalypse changed him.
There's a part where Apocalypse is like, Apocalypse, out. And he goes into a secret lair. And Wolverine's like, I don't think so, bub. And tries to tackle him and misses because the elevator goes down. And as it closes, it just shows Wolverine like clawing at the earth.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what are you doing, man?
So I thought that was funny. So Apocalypse is standing there and he's all like, see you later, fuckers. He's just standing on the regular ground. And then all of a sudden he's standing on this big like trap door that just goes down and then closes. And then the next shot is Wolverine like clawing at the ground. And it's not a trap door anymore. It's just the ground.
So that's part of how like the cell animations worked. There's a painted background.
Yeah.
And in old animations like this, you could always tell when the background was going to move.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's like with when you go back to like PS1 games with like pre-rendered backgrounds, like something that you could you knew was going to change was because it would actually be like polygonal.
Yes, exactly. Versus the painted like 2D backgrounds. Yeah. And I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah. No, I understand why it's going on. I just found it funny.
So in this universe, Apocalypse escapes on the Klingon bird of prey.
Oh yeah, and it turns out the trapdoor that he went down to a ship that then emerges from the ground and flies away. The warp nacelles come out and it shoots away.
And as it emerges from the ground, it destroys the ruins of Stonehenge.
It destroys Stonehenge, yeah.
So in this universe, like, Stonehenge has been ruined?
Well, I mean, Apocalypse probably remembers all of that being set up anyway, because he's like 4,000 years old, 4 or 5,000 years old.
Oh, yeah, he was like, I knew the humans that like put that together, and they were drunk.
They were all simpletons.
All simpletons trying to worship the stars. Yeah, probably. Yeah, so he flies, he goes off into space. Escapes into space. I mean, like, Cyclops, you could have at least taken a few shots at him before, as he was flying away, but...
And then the episode kind of just ends.
Yeah, after that, like, I hope you handle the evil better than I did.
Yeah. It kind of just ends, and, you know, that's the episode.
And then it, my copy has that sick 3D, outro.
I had forgotten that was a thing until I was watching this earlier. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally remember that. That was over the credits. It would have this very early CG, like, models, like, of each of the X-Men, like, spinning, like, just spinning around.
Yeah. As each one is selected and turned into like an X icon. Yeah.
And it shows like a little bit of like a bio blurb about who they are.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. That took me back.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
I was like, oh shit. Not that I think back. It's like, oh yeah, I remember seeing this in 1993 now. And thinking like it was the coolest thing ever.
I'll get that ass next time, Rogue.
Speaking of getting that ass, you just caught a random episode of Dad Ass. Would you tap it next week?
I would tap it next week, and I'll also tap an additional 2 black mana to catch the episode after that too.
All right.
How about yourself? Would you tune in next week, given this episode?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
It is kind of like very, there's a lot. It's not like terrific, but it's funny and interesting enough that.
I feel like if this story was being put into a cartoon nowadays, it would be like a four or five episode arc.
Yeah, that's absolutely, without question.
Right? As opposed to fact just it's being like one episode.
It's like, hey, there's a scientist. Hey, it's actually Mystique pretending to be the scientist. Hey, we're changing mutants. Hey, they're actually becoming slaves of Apocalypse. Hey, they're attacking a peace conference. There's a showdown at Stonehenge. Like, that's like 4 or 5 episodes nowadays.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Well,
so it does lose something by that fast pacedness, but I think there's also something to be gained by being able to move that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more story can be told with fewer episodes.
We kind of glossed over it, but I do like how theatrical Apocalypse is, and like the things, the monologues that he goes on.
He speaks glossed in a
very
like,
poetic, like theatric villain kind of
way.
We're
a fan of very poetic like villains on Lasercomb here. And him always showing up being like, the world will be cleansed in blood and fire. For the weak do not know that I, Apocalypse, am the future.
Yeah.
And just like little things like that. He has no normal lines. They're all like that.
Yeah.
Even when he's T-posing to assert dominance, he's like spitting bars, man.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine just trying to have like a regular conversation with the guy?
Oh no, there's no regular conversations to be had.
It's like calling him up like, "Hey, Apocalypse, I'm just going into the McDonald's drive-thru right now. Do you want anything?" "For I, Apocalypse, require sustenance of the vile burger known as the Big Mac, for it will feed me the energy in which I need in order to unleash vile pestilence upon McDonald's competition."
Okay, so what? That's a Big Mac? You want anything to drink? You want fries?
"Apocalypse needs not empty carbs for when the day arrives."
And I... Okay, bye.
"Wait, no.
Wait, I wanted a Diet Coke, okay?" Well, anyway, that was episode 82 of the Lasercomb podcast. Best way to support the show is go to patreon.com/lasercomb, LAZORCOMB. We're starting at the $5 tier. You get a bonus weekly-ish Patreon-exclusive podcast called the Super Lasercomb Patreon Super Show. Commentary tracks and a whole bunch of other goodies, including the ability to pick a show for us to review a random episode of on this very podcast. So if you want to get in on that, go to patreon.com/lasercomb. If you want to connect with us, join the Discord, link in the description, as always. Best way to interact. We will be back next week, where we're going to be talking about Cal's pick, which is King of the Hill.
That's right, baby.
Now, to figure out which episode of King of the Hill we're going to be watching, I'm going to hit screen share, as always. I am sharing my screen. So
he's sharing it.
King of the Hill has...
show lasted a long time.
Yeah, it ran from 1997 to 2010. I didn't realize it had ran that long. 259 episodes.
Shit.
So one random number between 1 and 259. Where in the hell are we going to land? 95. Windows 95. Within the first 100 episodes.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. That is season 5, episode 11, Hank and the Great Glass Elevator, from February 11th of 2001.
Speaking of Willy's chocolate experience, what the fuck? Hank and the Great Glass Elevator.
Yeah, well, we'll find out next week on the Lasercomb podcast. And until then, I've been The Siege, one of your hosts.
And I'm Neo Gambit, your other host.
Thanks for listening. We will... Apocalypse Now, yeah, next time.
They actually say Apocalypse Now sometime in the episode, and I was like, eh?
Da-da-da-da-do-do-do. Da-da-da-do-do-do. Bye-bye.